Hello, everyone, and welcome to ET Yoga. I'm very excited to present this show for you this evening. And first, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is very special to me because it was the first time that I ever spoke to my wife, Tatiana. And this is another special occasion with the start of ET Yoga. I'd like to begin by giving you some information about how the title ET Yoga came about. Basically, my background in consciousness comes from the ancient yoga masters, and one of my first recollections was from the teachings of Sri Ramana Maharshi. This beautiful soul was a person from India who, in a sense, the first time he did a spiritual quest, or asked the question of who am I, actually became one with his higher self and remained there the rest of his life. One of the books that comes to my mind is The Path of Self-Knowledge, written by Sri Ramana Maharshi. My next teacher actually is very well known in Western culture, and his name is Paramahansa Yogananda. And Yogananda set up many centers and is known for Self-Realization Fellowship. And another one of my teachers on the East Coast of the United States and founder of Integral Yoga Institutes was Sri Swami Satchidananda and the Path of Integral Yoga. So thus, in looking at information that I'll be providing tonight, much of it will come from the teachings of these great masters. And as well, the ET part comes from extraterrestrial. And why, you ask, what is the connection between the ET and the yoga? Extraterrestrial information has been coming through on the planet for a number of years. And I know one of the new wave information sources has been the program called The Secret. And I know many of our listeners out there have had some contact with this particular program. And this particular program, at its fundamental nature, deals with the fact that thought creates. And this type of teaching is now being met with resounding a success, which is a great credit to our populations at large. But I'd like to point out that this type of information has been around for at least 25 years. And two of the sources that provided this kind of information 25 years ago came from Barbara Marciniak and her classic book, Bringers of the Dawn, which is basically information from a civilization called Pleiadian. And I would consider this one of the classic texts for ET knowledge and information. And as well, it is kind of similar in a way to Autobiography of a Yogi, which I consider to be the classic text of Indian philosophy. Now, at this time, about 25 years ago, information in the Bringers of the Dawn, and also information from Bashar, and Bashar is from a civilization called Esasani. And this information that Bashar had been teaching for 25 years ago in the respect of abundance, which is a small portion of his teachings, but in a very important part, includes all of the information that's in The Secret. So this is a tremendous source of objective information that's been around for a long time, but people are just starting now to appreciate it. So one of the things that I thought about when coming up with an idea for an ET Yoga show was to clearly include the teachings of both the ancient yogis and extraterrestrials. Now, you don't need to believe in extraterrestrials to benefit from the show tonight, because the main focus is going to be on self-empowerment. And the main focus, anyway, is not on convincing you to believe in anything like extraterrestrial life, but in getting you to appreciate the concepts that have been presented, and then you can judge for yourself whether or not they're applicable to you and whether your belief systems can accommodate this type of information. It's one of the things that I know on the Bashar site, and by the way, those who want to tap into some of the Bashar knowledge, this information can be accessed at www.bashar.org, capital B for Bashar, it's B-A-S-H-A-R, and it's definitely a fabulous source of information, and in combining sort of the ancient yogic knowledge with extraterrestrial, they just go hand in hand. In fact, one of the reasons that I'm doing the show tonight is to share with you some of my experience with respect to hearing questions, because I've heard questions answered by some of the great masters of yoga, as well as heard many questions answered by channeled extraterrestrial sources. And the information really stands on its own. Now, Daryl Anka is a channel for Bashar, who presents himself as a multidimensional being from an Esasani civilization that comes from a time in our future. Now, he spends very, very little, if almost no time, trying to convince anybody that that, in fact, is the case, because it's not the point. The point is the information that's coming through, is it valid, is it true, and can it help you in your own personal situation and in your own personal spiritual quest? So, without further delay, the format this evening will be that I will discuss 10 fundamental concepts which relate to the complete understanding of the issue of self-empowerment, and as well as per the program information, this first show, I will reveal a new concept, linking self-empowerment with healing, that to my knowledge has not been made anywhere at any time. And then at that point in the program, we will open up the lines for questions from callers, from, as I understand it, any place on the globe can phone in toll-free by looking on the website and finding the appropriate number for your area. I should also mention, before we start, that I have created a website that I call a one-stop shop for healing and maximizing your spiritual growth. And I wanted to create a site that contains all the information you need to heal yourself or to put your body in optimum immune condition and also to achieve a point of personal sovereignty. And the books at the site contain about 46 pages of condensed information, but also connects you to another 150 pages, which to me gives you a complete kit in terms of being able to go to one place and not giving you, obviously, all the information available, but enough information available to satisfy those goals. And that can be found at maxwellgreensite.com. Maxwell is in M-A-X-W-E-L-L, green is in the color, site.com. So as my dad used to say, talk is cheap. Let's get down to it. There are 10 fundamental concepts which relate to the complete understanding of self-empowerment. And the first realization or concept is a little abstract, but I find that it, as I do all of these points, that it's very essential. And that is that there are only two objective true statements that exist. And that is that the world was created with unconditional love and that you exist. Anything else empirically is illusionary. And if we look at quantum physics and some of the latest research in this area, we're getting information that is basically reflective of this as well, that our science is catching up with some of the true spiritual teachings and spiritual knowledge, and that is that the universe has been described as being non-local or holographic in nature, which in a sense also means illusionary. The other important factor about this particular concept of the world being created with unconditional love is the connection with higher self. And higher self, which we all have, our higher selves, is more vibrationally in alignment with unconditional love. So if we are to become more in alignment with our higher selves, then we have to reflect this concept. Now, with respect to our physical personalities in third-dimensional reality, if you want to call it third-dimensional reality, because in essence, there isn't an empirical objective reality. Reality basically is the experience. And this frequency that your higher self is in alignment with of unconditional love is clearly a goal that we need to approximate to the best of our abilities. Now, the second fundamental concept is that your experience in third-dimensional reality is based on your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions. Now, when I say that it's based on that, I don't mean just that it's a major influence. I mean it actually is your reality in third dimension. It is a perfect mirror reflection. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Your experience in third-dimensional reality is based on your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions. Now, to expand on that a little bit, it's almost like in an analogous situation that while you are in a state of being your higher self and you're deciding to have a third-dimensional experience, it is somewhat like a deep-sea diver getting ready to take a plunge into the ocean. And the equipment is sort of analogous to your physical personality. In other words, it's more or less an artificial construct. And thus the paraphernalia that the diver utilizes underwater to experience this more dense experience is clearly similar to the personality construct, and the goggles are more like the alignment with your higher self. In other words, it allows you to see underwater. And when you're not in alignment with your higher self, when you are not following your excitement, when you're not in the now, when you are not in your passion, then this is the guiding light. And for the personality functioning in 3D, when you do follow your excitement, you are in the moment, each now moment. This leads to positive synchronicity, and things magically work out in a way that's delightful and surprising and pleasing. And when you ignore your excitement and instead are led by your fears and worries, this leads to negative synchronicity, upsetting events, the very things you wish to avoid. So positive synchronicity is the occurrence of events that are perfect reflections of your preferences and desires, and negative synchronicity is the occurrence of events that are perfect reflections of your fears and worries. You know, thus, in your experience in 3D reality, again, being in alignment with your higher self provides you with the possibility of experiencing more of the preferential experience that you think that you would like to have. Then next, as a third concept, you're 100% responsible for your experience. 100% responsible for your experience. Responsible doesn't mean that you're to blame for your experience. It means you have the ability to respond. Because you created it, you have the power to fix it. And this is a point that I think that is really one that we can apply on a daily basis, and that is taking 100% responsibility for our experience. And it's so very important with respect to dealing with the concept of victimhood. Because if you're not responsible for your experience, then who is? If everything is just kind of happening to you haphazardly and things are happening at random and other people are responsible for how your life turns out, then obviously that equates with a sense or a state of powerlessness. Once you take responsibility for your life and your experience, then you have the power, because you accept it, you have the power to fix it. The other thing that's really critical about taking responsibility is that when you blame others for your circumstance, it immediately creates you as a victim. In fact, there have been some studies that indicate certain emotional states that reflect the state of victimhood. The state of victimhood has three main characteristics. Number one, blame. Number two, complaint. And number three, justification. Once you become aware that you're in any one of those particular states of being, you know that you are creating yourself as a victim. But if you take 100% responsibility for your experience, you will not be in victimhood, because then you are in a state of working on changing what you don't prefer and realizing that you do have the power to change it. The next point relates directly to this particular concept, which is that all events are inherently neutral. To be honest, I'm absolutely amazed and just flabbergasted by the fact that I've never read anything about this in psychological books or manuals on the mind, or nor have I ever heard it been taught. But if you think about it, all events are inherently neutral. For example, let's take detoxification as an example. Some people may find this a very negative concept, but others might find it very exciting and exhilarating. And I'm sure you can think of many other examples where the exact same event is one man's meat and another man's poison. Events do not come with built-in meaning. I think this is absolutely critical to realize, that any event that you experience does not come with a built-in meaning. We give neutral events judgments. And judgment is probably the biggest cause of problems in our lives. First, it creates a sense of polarity. And that which you judge, you actually empower. Because when you're giving energy towards being against something, you perpetuate its existence. So the very same thing that you're judging, you actually help to perpetuate. And in most cases, it's actually a sign to you that there's a place in you that actually has a quality that's ringing a bell for you of why you're getting this as an outer reflection in the first place. But the very important point here is that all events are inherently neutral. We give the value judgments to our external circumstances. The next concept is that thought creates. And thought creates is certainly a key in The Secret, and they basically call this the law of attraction, in that like creates like. And I would say that it's also a fundamental concept of the previous point, that your third dimensional reality is based on your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions. Because your thoughts and your beliefs and your definitions create the emotions that you feel, and thought wrapped with emotion creates outer experience. And to realize how important your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions are is key to also connecting with the concept of taking 100% responsibility for your experience. And if you think of it, it's really a freeing up of a whole lot of baggage when so many of us spend so much time complaining or blaming other people for our circumstances. It's just totally non-productive in every sense of the word. Now, moving on to another point, that negativity is a perception based on a value judgment based upon a neutral event or circumstance. So when you have negativity, it's really based on the fact that you've chosen it. Remember, all negativity is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance. If, in fact, all events are inherently neutral, then negativity is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance. All beliefs that cause negative emotions are erroneous, and all erroneous beliefs are based in fear. Therefore, all negative emotions are also based in fear. I think that one bears a little bit of a repeat. Remember, all negativity is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance. All beliefs that cause negative emotions are erroneous, and all erroneous beliefs are based on fear. Therefore, all negative emotions are also based in fear. The seventh concept that I'd like to present is that when you run energy through positive beliefs, which are in alignment with your higher self, the results are positive emotions like love, joy, excitement, magic, and peace. When you run energy through negative beliefs, which are not in alignment with your higher self, the results are negative emotions like hate, anger, negative synchronicity, and disharmony. So again, this refers back to being in alignment with your higher self. When you're in alignment with your higher self and following your excitement and following your passion, following your joy in life, these are the signposts that let you know that you are more in harmony with your higher self. As well, the emotions such as unconditional love, compassion, gratitude, these are the types of emotions that, again, are more in alignment with your higher self. The eighth concept I'm going to bring up is when you incarnate in this dimension, you have four tasks. Function in 3D. Well, most of us have learned to do that fairly well. Become aware that thoughts take time to manifest. I think this is a big issue with a lot of the creational reality programs, is that many people either give up on their techniques, but they have to realize that thoughts do take time to manifest. And as I understand it, as the vibrational frequency of the earth increases, we will be able to manifest more quickly and see a closer connection to the fact that thought creates. And the third part is that we need to become aware of our illusion. And the fourth, to become one with your higher self. because your higher self is you. Now, becoming aware of your illusion is an interesting concept because it can also almost be equated with fear. The ego personality in defending certain situations that are perceived, I guess, as threats, the ego develops in a protective mode certain illusions of life that really are not objectively true. And in point of fact, you cannot master personal power and physical reality while maintaining the idea of illusion. In fact, I guess really the key to, or one of the keys, and I'm mentioning many of them, but one of the keys to obtaining your own personal power is to conquer fear. As the saying goes, where your power ends, where your fear begins. So if you're going to allow fear in your life, you're not going to have your personal power. Now, the easiest place to start with, I think in terms of looking at your own life or looking at areas where you have obstacles or problems. And it's like if you could light a funnel and identify these areas that are challenges, what you'll find is that the areas that you are having problems in your life, you've given away your power. And in these areas where you've given away your power, you need to identify why you gave away the power. And once you have identified who you've given the power to and why you've given it, you're well on your way to achieving your and obtaining your own power back in those particular areas. Now, the most common ones that would come to mind would be things like giving your power away in relationships and being abused. What we usually find is the areas that we do give away our power is where we're abused. And we gave our power away for erroneous reasons. In other words, we felt certain inadequacies in certain areas or certain fears. Now, there are actually three universal fears that are sort of at the core of most of our personality structures with respect to developing this illusion in our life. And one of them is the fear of abandonment. And one is not feeling worthy or good enough, not deserving. And another is loss of trust or fear of surrender. And when I speak of fear of surrender, I'm referring mostly to surrendering to the part of us that is the higher self. And with respect to dealing with fear, I think we need to know that, you know, all of the challenges are opportunities for growth. And because the ego misconstrued these as threats, these became fears, and certainly our belief systems are influenced a lot by parental influences. I've even heard it said that during the first 6 or 7 years of life, most of what we're doing is downloading belief systems from our parents. And I think certainly that one of the tasks of us as adults is to thank our parents for the positive things that they've given us in life, but as well, if they have beliefs that do not serve us, that we need to, if they don't serve us in a way that's positive, then we need to develop our own beliefs. And certainly reprogramming old beliefs is also a technique that's of high use in overcoming these ideas of fear. In fact, at one point, you can actually, you befriend fear, and it becomes almost joyful in that sense, because fear is like a piano that has a key out of tune, then when it's played, it kind of reminds you that there's work to be done in this area. And if you can see it with an attitude of enthusiasm, and once you understand totally the fear and understand it from a higher perspective, then that fear will turn to joy. Now, with respect to this type of a fear, and the fourth law, ninth point that I'd like to make, is that there are four laws in the universe. Now, by laws, and this comes from extraterrestrials who have experienced other dimensions, that when they say law, they mean laws that are applicable in every dimension, and they're quite actually a simple number. And the first being that you exist. An interesting concept, because the fact that you exist now from a higher perspective means that you've always existed. From a higher perspective, outside the time-space continuum, in the energy of the creational energies, that energy just is, was never created, will never end. Its state of being is isness. And because you also exist, it means that you've always existed in one form or another. Because from our perspective, we're having incarnations that are linear, which means we perceive them as coming one after the other. But from a higher perspective, all our incarnations are happening simultaneously. And from that perspective of existence, the fact that you exist is quite major. The second law is that the all is one and the one is all, which basically means that you can perceive creation from the one, and you can perceive it from the all, and you can also perceive it from both perspectives simultaneously. The third law is what you put out is what you get back. And that, according to The Secret, by the way, is what they call the law of attraction. And going back to the fact of all events being inherently neutral, my suggestion would be that to throw a positive spin on any outer circumstance, in other words, any circumstance that you can view as being negative, I would challenge you to throw a positive spin on it. Let's say, for example, even if you can't perceive how it might possibly turn out to be good, throw a positive spin and say to yourself, you know, I can't see how this could possibly turn out to be something really good or joyful, but how about I put a positive spin on it anyway, and then let's review this later on and see how it turns out. Because one of the things that is taught in the Bashar material is that state of being is the most critical factor in your experience in third dimensional reality. And the saying goes that outer circumstances don't matter, only your state of being matters. And it's not to be taken in a negative sense, but in this sense, that outer circumstances don't matter, meaning they don't create more matter in the sense of more experiences or outer circumstances. Your state of being determines the outer circumstance. The question then becomes, what state of being do you prefer? Do you prefer to be in the state of joy? Then throw any circumstance in the light of joy when it's being experienced. As we said before, no outer circumstances have inherent or built-in meaning, so throw a joyful meaning on it. I think you'll find if you practice that a bit that you'll be quite amazed and shocked as to some of the results, because in point of fact, we do have choice as to how we experience outer reality. And the last of the four laws that are consistent throughout the universe is that everything changes. And even the fourth law changes, which turns to stasis and creates the first three laws, which start everything all over again. Now, the last concept that is necessary to understand with respect to achieving your own self-empowerment is that acceptance is the higher vibration of judgment. It is beyond forgiveness because forgiveness implies that something has been done wrong. And acceptance says that all is happening perfectly, just as it is, because whatever is happening enables us to grow. And this moves us into the energy of love, trust, and peace. So acceptance is the higher vibration of judgment. Now, if you put all these concepts together, there is clearly a link, and this is the link that I adhered to in the promotion of this particular program, that once you master self-empowerment, you'll also master healing. And this is because disease is basically emotional dysfunction. And I'd like to quote a saying from Mary, Mother of Jesus, as channeled by Jean Hatch. All disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. Holding an erroneous belief system, especially in a suppressed or expressed form, creates an environment of internal discordance on a subconscious level. And over a period of time, denial of the judgment placed upon some aspect of oneself and then suppressed begins to alter the cellular structure of the area of the body where the memory of the event or circumstance is stored. This cellular alteration has been labeled disease. It is really emotional self-judgment. So in a sense, what we see here is the connection between judgment and disease. So if you're in a state of non-judgment, you cannot create disease. Now, how has this been reflected, let's say, in an actual 3D circumstance? For those who haven't heard of the children of AIDS, Drunvalo from the Flower of Life organization was interviewed by Diane Cooper some 7 or 8 years ago, and it was about this amazing phenomenon that took place with children of AIDS. Apparently, there was a child in California that was tested positive at age 2 and tested positive at age 3, and all of a sudden, at age 6, there was no sign of AIDS and no sign that this child ever had AIDS. So they did some testing to find out, well, what's happened here, and especially with the immune system. Well, what they found out was that this particular child was immune to AIDS. And they took samples of his blood and they mixed it with lethal doses and no effect. Then they mixed it with 3,000 times the normal dose, no effect. Started mixing it with cancer cells, no effect. The child was virtually immune to disease. With further research into the DNA, they found that this particular child had 4 codons of his DNA operating that the normal human didn't. And what they then found was that there were not only one child, but there are thousands and ten thousands of children like this now that are being born with this special DNA, let's say, that allows them to be virtually immune to disease. And we also hear about the super psychic children of China and indigo children, crystal children, we're seeing basically a mutation of human DNA. And what I think is important here is the connection between your DNA, your level of consciousness, the connections between self-empowerment and that of making an integrated whole of this whole particular process. So once you, one of the things that they actually also discovered about some of the children who have been immune to disease is that they have a certain awareness, they have an integrated whole, a consciousness that's more of oneness, that they are very loving, that they are very compassionate, and that they have a sense of the integrated whole to the extent that they do not express judgment in the same manner that the average person does. So again, this concept of judgment comes up over and over again. So in trying to make this connection, it would appear that some of the things that would be highly beneficial for all of us would be to learn techniques with respect to reprogramming our DNA, reprogramming our beliefs, and exploring ways and means that these particular things can be accomplished. And over the course of time on this show, we will be going into some of these subjects in more detail. Another one of the tips, let's say, for dealing with reprogramming is that we tend to have a capacity for wanting to know how things work and knowing all the details, when in point of fact, our rational minds are more inclined to and designed to focus on what rather than the how. Our higher selves are the aspect of us that conceive, and the physical brain receives, and our physical mind is the perceiver. And I think that too often when we're doing visualization and trying to change outer reality, there is too much of a focus on knowing all the details of the how. I think the main focus of the physical mind is to experience life with positive meaning. In other words, take all those neutral circumstances, whether they look, no matter how they would look to the average person being good or bad, and throw a positive spin on everything possible that you can. See it from a perspective of joy. Pick the state of consciousness, the state of being that you prefer. And apparently in that statement, that outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? This is sort of a mantra of a power nature, in that it's a communication from your higher self to your logical mind in words that you can understand. So it's a very powerful, powerful technique. Taking responsibility for your life. Limiting judgment. I think that will keep us busy most of the time. Take responsibility for everything in your life, thus you have the power to fix it. If you want to get your personal self-empowerment back, that's an area that you need to focus on. Don't give up, ever. Do whatever it takes. Be passionate about creating the type of reality that you want, and there is no giving up. I think it's clearly an attitude that if it really matters to you, then you just have to do whatever it takes. And if you've ever seen people that are passionate about anything that they do, they're totally immersed in it. So if it's really important to you, get immersed in it. Create the state of being that you prefer and see about its manifestation in your outer reality. And ultimately, I believe that the real secret to the secret is that there's this lack of connection with our higher selves, and in a sense, it is the cause of any type of feelings about victimhood or undeservability and feelings of fear. And we need to give up control over all the details of life and let the higher self do the job that it was designed to do. And we need to be who we really are, as opposed to trying to be the person that other people say we should be. And we're sort of reaching a point in time in the program where I want to ask for people to phone in that may have questions about some of the things that have been discussed. And I want to reiterate that if you're looking for more detailed explanations or want to ask questions, you can actually write in questions for the show, and you can write in at paperfungo, that's paper as in paper, and fungo, F-U-N-G-O, all one word, paperfungo, at yahoo.com. And I will be selecting questions from the emails for the show, as well as if you're looking for a combination of self-empowerment and healing, the website at maxwellgreensight.com, that's Maxwell, as in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, maxwellgreensight.com. On that site is basically the Healing the Known and the Unknown is the name of that particular website. So if you're interested in checking that out, you can check that out. And at this point, I would appreciate anybody that has a question or would like to call in that they can do so at this time. And at the latter part of this particular session, I will also talk about some questions that have been emailed in previously to this evening. We have a question here from Dan in Calgary. How to quit smoking? Well, as it so turns out, a few years back, actually, I founded a program called Kick Butt, which was a non-smoking program for teenagers. And I've learned a few things since that time. I think that the program itself was quite effective because it was formulated on the motivational processes of teenagers. And they needed to have it be cool to quit, so we kind of made it cool to quit and offered a trip to a rock concert, or you were at least eligible for a draw to a rock concert if you were part of this particular program and you were successful. And one of the things that I would suggest anybody that's thinking of quitting smoking is that clearly it has to be the right time for you, and it has to be a priority in your life. But one of the new concepts that I recently discovered was that we usually think of a habit as something that we're aware of that we can't control. But in point of fact, I think there's another definition of a habit, and that is once you're aware that you have a habit, it's not a habit anymore, it's a choice. And if you can appreciate that you're choosing to do this, and then think about the motivational nature of humans, which is basically quite simple, that we typically choose to gravitate towards what we perceive as being more pleasurable and gravitate away from what we perceive as being not pleasurable or painful. And in this case, when you hang on to the habit of smoking or choose to keep it, it's because you're getting some kind of a payoff in some other way or area. In other words, you need to think about what would happen if you did quit smoking, that type of a thing. And as well, we also spent some time working on clearly on motivation with respect to success. In other words, when people came into the program and said they were going to try to quit, we pretty much knew that they wouldn't. It's not a question of try, it's a question of do or don't. And my suggestion would be that if you're thinking of of quitting smoking or quitting any type of a habit is to truly understand your motivations, and if your focus is strong, then yes, you can be successful. And the stages kind of go somewhat similar to consciousness expansion, which is you first need to become aware of the possibility. Then after you become aware of the possibility, you start to believe that that you can do it. And at a later stage, you start to know that you can do it. And then when you actually have arrived there, the whole thing was easy. And I can appreciate that for those that have tried to, and try is not the right word. I think try and should are two words that we can eliminate from our vocabulary. They're built-in excuses for failure. And when you make a firm commitment to doing it, yes, you can be successful with anything, and especially quitting smoking. I have a question here coming from Romania, from Tanya, and her question is, what is the best technique I've ever done? Well, I guess what you mean with respect to what is the best technique, you're talking about what would be the most powerful technique, and I would say to that that all techniques are like permission slips for your belief system to give you the permission to be successful and to do the kind of things that you anticipate could happen. And in that regard, I think that anything that you really believe works for you, that's the ones that you should do. And the ones that you're attracted to are probably in vibrational harmony with yourself and the ones that you should focus on at that time. Now, in terms of specifics, I would actually hope to do a show that's totally one show one evening that's around techniques. And the Vichara, which was a technique taught by Ramana Maharshi to some of his more advanced disciples, which is called the Who Am I technique, is one that I will be teaching one evening on a show. Some of the other techniques that I think are very profound are I call it the an ET meditation. It's called the XYZ meditation that Bashar teaches. I find it to be personally the most powerful meditation technique I've ever used, and I've used lots of mantras and yantras and visualization techniques. So it's one of those that I will also, one evening on the show, will be doing an extraterrestrial meditation, which I think you'll find quite fascinating and powerful. And, of course, on a daily basis, I feel most comfortable with doing mantras like Hari Om or Om Shanti. Repeating these sounds, and actually on my website, one of the e-books contains a list of techniques, and actually lists some of the top five things that the Pleiadians suggest as the most optimum things that we can do as people to accelerate our personal growth and consciousness. Good evening.
Yes, good evening. This is Ken in Texas.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Real good, thanks. And
enjoying your show greatly so far.
Well, thank you.
I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask, and then I also want to make a comment on your writings that I have. And want to highly recommend those to anybody that wants to purchase those. And one of my questions, first question, is if you could expand possibly on some of the detox that you have experienced yourself, and then also if you could expand slightly on possibly music and its role that it can play on the DNA.
Well, Those are really good questions, Ken. Let's start off with the detox thing, because it's one of the things that I put off for a long time. The whole concept of detoxing that I sort of thought about was, you know, I had these thoughts about rubber hoses and sticking them in places that I didn't really want, and I just thought that the whole concept of detoxification was not very appealing. But actually, it was through Bashar, and it's interesting that Bashar has never recommended any particular product to anybody except one that I know of, and it's from the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. And it's through a doctor there called Dr. Schultz, and he has some products there that for detoxification, and I mean a thorough detoxification from head to colon. And I've done these now on a yearly basis, and I'm going to be honest with you, I just love them. I just can't wait for it to be that time of year that it comes around again now that I can do those. It's just, I'm just thrilled about them, because first off, I realize how beneficial they are. And Bashar has said, as well as Dr. Schultz has said over 20 some years that he had a clinic, that 85% of the symptoms of the people that came in with, you know, physical ailments, the 85% of them disappeared after doing a colon detox. And Bashar has said that 90% of all physical ailments could be eliminated with a thorough detoxification and the ingestion of the proper supplements. And by proper supplements, he means organic nutrients, and these can also be found at the American Botanical Pharmacy in a product called Superfood. And the other interesting aspect of the detoxification process is that it's I find it to be quite fun to do, because, well, first off, the toxicity in our world today is just huge. I mean, the sprays in the sky, the sprays on the fruits and vegetables, the fluorides in the waters, all these highly toxic metals that are in our system. If you want to be, you know, healthy in this day and age, I think I tell everybody you need to do a detox once a year. Now, what does this mean really in terms of, you know, practically what does it mean? Well, they have these herbs and teas, so you'd be drinking maybe 6 or 8 cups of tea a day with the proper detox formulas are put actually in the teas. They don't taste bad at all. In fact, I like the teas, you know, quite a lot. And you're talking about eating only organic fruits and vegetables on the first day, for example. You're doing some flushes, and this could be a combination of like garlic and lemon and lime, and with the particular ingredients that they have you mixed with that to actually get your colon and your bowel movements happening regularly, because when you're detoxing and eliminating things from your system, they have to be eliminated. So, you know, to be in a regular sort of cycle and an everyday cycle, and from what I've been told, some people only have this, you know, go to the washroom like once a week or once every 2 weeks. Well, that isn't going to cut it. I mean, you need to be going every day, and maybe during this detoxing period twice a day. So they get that happening, and then you might be doing a 3-day juice fast, but in addition to doing the teas and continuing with that type of thing, and then on the 5th day you're back to solid foods again. So it's almost like it's a 5-day period that does initially take a certain amount of self-discipline, but you feel wonderful, and they target specific areas like liver and kidney and the colon and the brain, obviously. So when you're doing these thorough detox, actually, I find them to be quite invigorating. I look forward to doing them. And for those who are looking to lose a few pounds, there's nothing that beats it in terms of dropping a few pounds. And also a great way to lose weight is just do the superfood and fast. So on that count, that's just fabulous. Now, with respect to music and and its effect on people. I've come across actually the Hung. It's H-A-N-G. Is a new instrument that was developed in Switzerland. It looks like a UFO, and it's a percussion instrument. And apparently, Bashar says it emits some of the highest beneficial frequencies on the planet. So that's one positive source of music. And another one that I find is just a no-brainer, and one that everybody can do with quite easily, is if you have large containers of water, such as purified water in 18 or 20 liter containers, this type of thing, it's been proven that water is a instant spontaneous reflector of consciousness and vibration. And if you look under the work of, I think his name is Emoto, Masaru Emoto has a book out, The Power of Water. And it basically, that our thoughts, beliefs, and definitions physically change the molecular structure of water. And you can look on your website and they'll show you water that's been given certain vibrations, and you can see actually the molecules and how they change. And I find it's a real beautiful thing to see with respect to proving to people that your thoughts are such an important factor in your life. And with respect to music, what I do with the with my water is I take and put visual symbols like Sri Yantras, yogic symbols, crop circles. Crop circles are a phenomenal way to activate latent DNA. I place pictures of crop circles around my water and play Mozart and Beethoven, which have been shown to be beneficial to your DNA. In fact, music is a phenomenal way to impact water, which in turn is taken internally. And if you think of it, I mean, we're mostly water. There is mostly water. By positively influencing your internal structure, it's just an optimum way to make use of the beautiful sounds of water. And I guess just from an aesthetic point of view, I've never seen it tested, but I know my wife and I are very attuned to the music of Andrea Bocelli. Like, we find that particular type of music to be highly exhilarating. I hope that helps with those questions that you have, Ken.
Definitely. I appreciate them, and I look forward to your show in, I think it's on 2 weeks from now, isn't it?
Yes, 2 weeks from now I'm going to do a special on healing the known and the unknown, and I'll be going into a lot of new scientific discovery that's been made, as well as how, again, amplifying on some of the concepts tonight with respect to how self-empowerment and healing connect and I see it as a continuum. It's sort of like the process of attaining self-empowerment and the process of boosting your immune system leads eventually to self-empowerment and also leads to total immunity.
Great stuff.
Thanks for calling, Ken.
Thank you very much.
So if there are any other calls this evening, they're listed on the website as from whatever particular area of the world that you're phoning in. I'd like to thank the caller there for a couple of really good questions, and I hope that on tonight's show that you picked up on something, that a piece of information here or there that would help you in your own spiritual quest. And it's my sincere wish for your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I wish you all a happy Valentine's again, and good night.